What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Box Out Boys podcast. We are the NBA podcast of the people, your home for lukewarm takes and substandard analysis. I'm Titus Two Shots Dominguez, and joining me tonight, it's Chris, the stats man Gorman. Hit him with the stats, Chris.
We don't need stats. Bulls won. Let's go.
Bulls won, and on that note, he sees red. He is our most diehard fan. He's hyped right now. The Lawn Boss, Joe McCroskey. Get them buckets, Joe.
Put some respect on his name.
His name, him.
Done. Him.
You know who him is right now.
You know who him is.
You know who him is. Adam is not with us tonight. We interrupted his nap schedule by going after the Bulls game. So we'll have to have him on next week. But let's just get right into it. We're talking tonight, play and recap from the games tonight and then the games last night. We're going to do a little playoff breakdown, talk about some juicy matchups. But man, right into it. We're all hyped. The Bulls just won, beat Toronto by 4. Crazy comeback, down 19. Joey, let's just go to you, man. Give us your thoughts. What's going on? The emotions. What's happening right now?
There was a lot going on. I'm really warm. My ears are hot. Everything is uncomfortable about me. I was down and out. I'll tell you, man. Halftime of that game, I was down and out. Like they didn't have the energy. Raptors were draining threes left and right. It just didn't look right. And that, you know, buzzer beater at halftime from Fred VanVleet was kind of like, okay, this is one of those nights, right? Like, this is just the way it's going to go. And
Pascal was on pace for like 40.
Yeah. Honestly, I think the best thing that happened was DeMar getting frustrated, right? Like, he came off the floor, Billy took him off, and Zach, you know, I think finally said, hey, shots aren't falling for us. They had great looks in that first half, right? Like, to be down what they were, it didn't feel right based on how the shots they were getting, and for him to turn on going downhill the way he did was just, that's what we've always been asking for. And we talked about this at the beginning of the season, and Zach did not look strong finishing at the rim. And tonight was not that, right? He looked strong. He was seeking contact, but fighting through it. And also, like, I've ripped on Patrick Williams a lot this season, but man, his defense in that second half was fantastic. Caruso just absolutely locked it down. And Bev came in. I mean, he was quiet most of that game, but some of those rebounds at the end of the game were just absolutely clutch. You know, he did what he does, hit the big three. Yeah. I mean, biggest takeaway though, I mean, Zach, like, this is what we've been asking for from him for seasons, right? I mean, like, he gives you this. This is the glimpse of what he needs to give you night in, night out. He needs to be the clutch guy, the closer, the killer instinct, and he had it all going tonight, and it was working from all parts of the floor. And man, whew, what a game. I'm stoked. I'm so happy. I don't care if they win another game. That was I feel, you know what? I get Patrick Beverley last season standing up and acting like he won the champ. Like I
get it now, right?
I feel that pumped right now. I feel like that was everything I had hoped for. I'm just happy.
I'll feel like that if they get into the playoffs. That'll be my moment of like, all right, because to me, this feels like it was a great win, but it also feels like a little bit like, hey, we got one more. We're not done yet. So let's not, you know, rest on our laurels now. But Chris, kind of talk on what Joey was saying. I mean, LaVine showed up tonight at that third quarter in particular where he took over. I think he had like 17 points. But, you know, with like DeMar on the bench, and he kind of took over with Caruso in the paw there, just kind of being defensive stoppers. What were your thoughts on the game?
LaVine did everything Anthony Edwards did not do yesterday, and it was nice to see a playmaker, two guard, deliver in a key moment, you know, and actually like be trusted if he's going to put up a shot. Like, you think it's going to go in? That's what we saw from LaVine tonight. DeMar, he played fine, but he wasn't as like, I know you guys have been annoyed with DeMar all season with how he kind of like takes over the game too much. Like, he's more of a isolation guy, ball hog, but it felt like LaVine was just the guy, and yeah, it really worked out. Kobe White did all right. We got 9 points out of him. Shout out. So, but the one caveat I do want to show out here, the craziest stat is the fact that the Raptors went 18 of 36 from free throws, 50%. I think that might be the worst free throw percentage of the year for a team that shot 30 or more free throws. I'm sure that is.
That was, you know, I don't know. They were giving credit to DeMar's daughter there on the broadcast for just her blood-curdling screams during the free throws. I don't know if you guys are catching that.
All right, not going to lie. For the first half, I thought they were pumping in like a raptor sound. And I was like, I was like, really annoying. Screaming? I was like, why are they putting a raptor sound in? And then they showed it. She became internet famous tonight.
Yeah.
She definitely 18 got to 36, you said, Chris, from the free throw line?
Yeah, free throws. Terrible.
Wow. Well, as Lee Ellis would say, righteous free throws, kids.
Righteous free throws, kids. I mean, at that point, you're like, Toronto should have won pretty comfortably here if they could have made, you know, 70% of their free throws, but that was not the case. Yeah, I think you guys kind of hit the nail on the head. Sucks to suck. Zach, just this was exactly what you want him to do. You know what I mean? It's kind of what we've been talking about, or like what I've been harping on, where I would rather see Zach being the guy as the closer versus DeMar. It kind of got – there was some sketchy moments there at the end. I think Zach took like a kind of ill-advised three once, and there was a DeMar possession that looked very familiar to some of the bad fourth quarters they've had in the past. But at the end of the day, they came through and got the win. A terrible, terrible foul call on the Pascal Siakam, three free throws to get the – what was going on? He was clearly on the floor. That was terrible. But terrible. We were all in the group chat. Hey, ball don't lie, and he missed two shots. So
yeah, terrible.
After watching Conley do that yesterday, it's like, no, there's no chance Pascal's hitting all three of these.
He's not doing it. Not tonight.
I was finally happy to see them play through the hot hand, and it just felt right. Like,
you don't
have a point guard to actually run your offense, right? Your game is pick one of the two and let them do what they do. And so many times this season, we've seen Zach have good third quarters. And then DeMar takes over in the fourth, and it either goes great or it goes really bad. And more times this season than last, it's gone poorly. And I've been harping on that. And to see DeMar not do that, you know, the baskets he scored in the fourth quarter were, you know, a dunk, a layup, you know, got a foul deep in the paint, though. I mean, he wasn't settling for mid-range. He was getting in there trying to draw contact. And if it wasn't there, he was making the right pass. And it just, I don't know what clicked, but it took 83 games for it to finally click, but
it did seem like, I know there was that one layup or dunk. No, I think it was a dunk where he hammered it home, but that was off of like a Levine action where Levine had gotten some penetration, drew the defense. The defense was really trying to harp on him at that moment. And then he got it to DeMar. And that's kind of what I would like to see too from these guys. Let DeMar kind of play off of Zach and be more of that filler role kind of, all right, I'm here if you need me. And once the attention was drawn by Zach, you know, DeMar was getting to the basket pretty easy. So good stuff there.
I made it 83 games. We'll make it 84 on Friday, guys. It's, you know, 83 so far. Let's go.
There he goes. Wow. 84.
Oh, wow.
Well, let's just round the Bulls. Let's do this real quick. So Miami lost to Atlanta. We'll touch on that game here in a little bit, but looking forward a little bit now to that matchup with Miami. I kind of, you know, you mentioned to us last night, you were hoping Atlanta would lose. So that way, you felt like that was a better matchup, but I don't hate that Heat matchup. I kind of think it's going to be very similar to this game where, you know, two kind of defensive minded teams, a little lower scoring. And I'm kind of curious to see if the Bulls can kind of make something happen there in Miami. Two road games would be tough. What do you guys think on the Miami matchup? Joe?
The thing that scares me the most about Miami is they seem like a team when desperate that they can really put it together. Like, Atlanta seems like the kind of team, like when they're up against the odds, like they don't have it together. Right. Last night, that goes against that point, right? They went out, they were not the favorite, and they laid it on them. They laid it on them big, but kind of felt like if they lost that game, there was going to be a lot of, you know, chatter about the media and all that stuff about, you know, this is what they've been all season. They've underachieved. It's just continuing. Miami doesn't seem to like, that doesn't seem to affect them in a negative way when they hear that kind of stuff. Like, they seem to kind of come out and go the other way. And Jimmy missed a lot of easy layups last night. What do you call them, Tyus Bunnies? He missed a lot of bunnies. Missed a lot of bunnies last night. I feel like that's the scary part for them, is you're going to see a much more determined Miami Heat team, specifically Jimmy and Bam.
Yeah, Lowry played great. He had like what 31 or something last night.
Yeah, the matchup is better. I think you're right. Like, the Hawks games were, you know, kind of hit or miss for the Bulls all season. The Hawks have some size. Miami doesn't have as much size. They have Bam, but after that, it's not, you know, there's not much after that.
Zeller. Cody Zeller. Kevin Love. They played 6 minutes combined.
Capella torched Vooch, right? And we haven't seen the Heat torch Vooch But the Bulls handled size tonight, right? I mean,
yeah.
If they play second half defense against Miami for four quarters, they're going to get out of there with a win, right? Like, they need to come out with the same intensity that they had. Just my biggest fear is that Miami up against the wall as a desperate team is a dangerous recipe.
Yeah, I mean, I do kind of like the rhythm of winning a game and then going into this game coming off a win versus Miami kind of coming off a loss, having to kind of get it back together. I do kind of like that, but Miami's going to be tough no matter what. Chris, what do you think, man?
Yeah, no, like, the thing with Miami is, like, you always just think Miami's – you just assume Miami's going to put it together. You look at them on paper. You see Max – you know, it's funny when there's a player on a team that you still have to say the full name of it, I feel like that's kind of an indicator that you don't think that they're, like, a good player. That's how I look at, like, Max Strus and Gabe Vincent. There's no nicknames for those two guys.
Cody Zeller.
Cody Zeller, right?
Kevin Love.
Oh, Kyle Lowry. Right.
Well, Love. You call him Love. You call him Lowry.
Jimmy Butler.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you say
Bam Adebayo. This is the whole team.
This is the best point ever.
You say Bam. You guys aren't. you say Hero instead. You don't say Vincent. Yeah, yeah, like, if I said Vincent, who do you – yeah, who Max. America says Strus. You have to say the full name.
But, Max Strus.
So, I like the Bulls' chances. You know, it's if Levine can, you know, live up to that Max contract again, get him into the – got this team into the playoffs, it'd be fun. Sure. Like, you know, the thing is, the underlying thing from all this is then they have to go play Milwaukee, and we all know how that looked last year, and I know it'd be fun.
Fine. I'll see you boys in Milwaukee.
Four or five games. So.
This is the biggest game in Zach's tenure with the Bulls.
Probably because Miami? Career.
No,
or this one tonight.
Tonight. And Friday will be the next biggest game, right?
Yeah.
Like, this was the defining moment. Like, nobody expected them to win that series against Milwaukee last year. But he came off the max contracts this year. He had a terrible start to the season. Everybody was all over him for not performing. Like, if he had a bad game tonight,
I think Titus
would be out here slandering the man left and right, telling him he's a bum, cut the team, trade him, it's done. Right. But instead, he comes on here and says, our guy, right?
So, our guy, Zach. I love you, Zach.
No.
It's
going to be a fun matchup Friday.
It should
be fast. It should be high energy.
You got a Jimmy revenge game, right?
Jimmy revenge game is scary. That there's a lot of scary parts to Miami.
The Jimmy factor, I think, is. But you know, I'm kind of curious. Can you know, like Zach or DeMar, kind of go toe to toe with Jimmy? And then I think if one of those guys has a big game, and I'm hoping it's Zach, but I would take a DeMar game too. I mean, he might have like a little bit of a revenge game after tonight's sort of mediocre performance. If one of those guys can just kind of go shot for shot with Zach, I like the rest of the Bulls team versus the rest of the Miami's team. But I think it's going to come down to which guy just goes out and gets 40. So
which guy gets his
should be fun. All right, let's go back into last night's game. We can go ahead and start with that Heat Hawks game. That ended up kind of being, you know, a fun game towards the end there. It started off a little slow. I think it was Miami was up quite a bit, right? At the beginning, it was very similar, or I'm trying to remember. Or was it
Atlanta?
Atlanta. There was so many blown leads last night. I was trying to remember what the leads were.
Atlanta was up like 18 or 19.
Yeah, and it was looking like it was going
to
kind of
got it down to four, and then just kind of tailed off from there.
That's right. Atlanta just kept kind of holding them off. Miami kept making their runs, getting it close. But Trae Young and DeJounte Murray did their stuff there. So how do you guys feel about that game? And then kind of Atlanta's chances going forward up against Boston. Chris, you got anything?
I remember Atlanta, was it 2 years ago they were in the Eastern Conference Finals in that following season?
Correct, yeah.
Going into the next season, Trae Young mentioned like it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you barely made it to the finals. You were lucky to be in these conference finals. And then of course they are who they are right now. I think we'll get into more about the Celtics Hawks series, but like I mean it was a great win for the Hawks. I think they really needed this. I think it was better for them to win this game than to just drive out into the sunset, losing this game. Like everyone thought they would. Sadiq Bey got 17 points. The guy, he's a perfect sniper off the bench with Bogdanović as well. This team on paper looks fantastic. It's just they never really put it together. So it's good to actually see them actually deliver.
Yeah, because this did feel like one of the games that people were kind of writing off. It was like, all right, this should be an easy Miami win. And I think Atlanta might have surprised them a little bit. I don't know if Miami just didn't really wasn't focused or something or what, but they just came out a little sluggish. And then, you know, Atlanta was just able to kind of hold them off. Joey, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I think one thing we're overlooking in this too is the Hawks have a new coach, right? Quinn Snyder.
Yeah.
So, you know, a little bit of, you know, gamesmanship, a little bit of different approach to the game than they've had in the past. And like you said, Trey and DeJounte were, they did their thing, and Miami had that game in their grasp, right? They got it to within four. Yeah. And at that point it was like, all right, this is where Atlanta crumbles. You see the veteran team comes through and makes it happen, and it didn't. And I, you know, Jimmy did miss a lot of layups. I don't have the numbers. I'm sure you go, but I mean, there were a lot of missed, you know, they were contested contact and paint, but like, those are not shots that you're used to seeing him miss. He usually makes those and he's getting and ones, and that's how he gets his points. But yeah, I think that was Miami or Atlanta a little bit kind of shedding some of that criticism off their backs. I don't know if that gives me any like confidence for them against the Celtics. I think the Celtics are a significantly different and better team than Miami, obviously. So I wouldn't expect Atlanta to succeed in their next matchup. But I mean, hey, it's a win one game and you're safe. And that's all you got to do. And they went out and they absolutely did it.
Yeah, I think with you guys, good win for them. I expect a pretty quick series against Boston, though. And we'll get into that as we move forward. So that was kind of the first game of the night, sort of ho-hum. I don't think none of us really locked into that game. I think we were all kind of just watching it because it was the first game up, but I don't know if we were invested in that one. But the later game, I know we were all kind of focused in on Lakers, Timberwolves. Timberwolves had a little bit of a meltdown there. They were up, what, like 19 or 20 at some point, too? I'm trying to remember the...
Probably.
Yeah, Chris looks like he's just, like, still in
trouble. I think they have the most blown leads of 15 or more in the season. That was their 19th blown lead this year of 15 or more.
So, yeah, let's just go to you, Chris. Thoughts on this game in general? At the end there, it kind of seemed like nobody really wanted to win that. AD had the brain fart of all brain farts. Like, what was happening there? But...
Carl Anthony Towns couldn't get around Austin Reeves. Reeves was able to guard him at the top of the key. It's just like, what's going on here?
What happened to the Wolves in the fourth quarter, man? They just disappeared. That was, what did they have, like 6 or 9 points?
There was no offense.
They had 9 points at level.
They had 12 points. They had 12 points.
12 points.
But everything that Edwards was putting up was a brick. Cat got into foul trouble, so he had to come out.
Yeah.
And when he's out, there's just nothing. You know, Nikhil Alexander Walker did all right. Coming off the bench there. Jordan McLaughlin was non-existent in his 10 minutes, 0-5 from the field. So it's I've been out in Minnesota for 4 years now, and you know, I've developed a fandom for this team more than any of the others, because this team's actually but like, I've realized how hard it is to be a Minnesota sports fan. It is a grueling process, especially going from the last game of the season when Gobert punches Kyle Anderson, yeah, and Jaden McDaniel punching his hand. No one's even talking about the fact that Jaden McDaniel broke his hand because he punched a wall.
Yeah.
Like, he thought it was plastic, but it was concrete. It's brutal, because the frustrating thing is they could have easily won this game. It's clear that they would have won this game over LA. LA is so thin. They have LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and then Austin Reeves, Schroeder, and Rui Hachimura are getting them points. Russell and Vanderbilt, who were on Minnesota last year, could not do anything. So I don't know what this means for LA. We'll get into that when
we'll get to that,
playing the Grizzlies. But man, it was just a frustrating game.
Yeah, I mean, I could see as a Minnesota fan too. It felt really weird to, like, I was watching that fourth quarter. I kind of felt like Minnesota was in control for the first three quarters. It was very similar to, like, you know, tonight's game with the Toronto, where it just didn't seem like it was going their way. And then all of a sudden, just something unlocked. I think it was the foul trouble with Cat. And, you know, AD started cooking, and, you know, LeBron was moving the ball around and getting guys open shots. And somehow just the Lakers just found themselves, you know, in a win. It was kind of surprising. Joey, what did you think of that game, man?
Oh, the one stat I wanted to point out is there were 17 free throws given to the Lakers in the second half compared to the 3 that the Timberwolves got. And the 3 came at the very end with Conley.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, who knows? It's rhythm of the game, but also, you know,
it's a little NBA sus. Conspiracy.
A little sus.
Joey, what was your thoughts, man?
Yeah, I think, you know, Anthony Edwards clearly chose the worst game to have his worst game, right? Like, of all the times he chose to go four of whatever it was, it just didn't need to be last night. I mean, if he plays, you know, 75% of what he did all season, that's a win wrapped up, you know, no question. You know, that's just, I mean, you got to feel like, you know, three quarters through that game without Rudy, we've got this lead. Everything's going our way. We're keeping LeBron at bay. Like, everything's going great. And like,
Having a bad game. You know,
And having a bad game. Like, we're still Rudy's not here. We lost Naz Reid. Like, and we're still in this game. And for it to just fall apart, like, yeah, I mean, I guess give credit to Los Angeles for staying with it and you know, keeping it close. I guess that's what you would expect from a LeBron-led team. But you got to have some concerns about their game, Minnesota's next game here. Like, that has just got to take the absolute wind out of your sails. Like, that's got to be just the absolute.
Well, Gobert's going to be back, right?
Gobert's
that's the savior of the team.
Yeah, if that's the savior, I mean, hopefully so for them. But, I mean, that's just got to, like, be a kick in the nuts, right? Like, we had the Lakers on the ropes. And all we needed to do was score, you know, two more points in the fourth quarter. Like, they didn't need to do a lot. They didn't need to do much more. And
LA tried to give them the game with AD.
Right. LA gives them the game. It's just, it's a tough one. But I mean, same way for Los Angeles as it was for Atlanta. Like, them winning that game doesn't, like, make you feel much more confident in them going forward. Like, you're not like, oh, okay, cool. They won this game like that. That's a good sign for them. You know, like Chris said, they're thin. You know, if you're crossing your fingers that one out of your, like, next four guys has a game and that's what it's going to take to win, like, that's not a recipe for success.
We're getting an Austin Reeves 40-point game in the series, right?
Cool, right? And then they'll win one game, and then they'll lose the next three in a row. Like, that's...
Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's, like, we can kind of spin this forward to the next matchups. We don't know yet who Minnesota is going to play. That, you know, that game's going on right now with Pelicans and the Thunder. But LA goes into Memphis. I know people are saying, you know, they have AD and LeBron. I don't really think the Lakers are going to do much at all. I think that should be a quick series with Memphis. AD is playing out of his head for sure. But, you know, you guys know I'm the biggest LeBron fan, but he's not that LeBron anymore either. That was the one thing I took away from this game. I mean, he played great. I think, what did he have, like 30 something points?
He had 30,
He got his numbers, but he's just not. He just doesn't dominate the game, and he doesn't do things defensively in particular that he used to do, you know, 5-6 years ago, that I think that you could look at this team as potentially making a run to the conference finals or something like that. But I think Memphis is going to have an answer for them. I would have been more interested in a Minnesota Memphis rematch, you know, from last year. That would have been fun. Yeah. But I think the Lakers aren't really going to do too much, but we'll see. How about Minnesota? Chris, is there any matchup you prefer, you know, coming out?
The Grizzlies. That rematch matchup was it, man. That's why I'm just a little bummed out from that.
But even in the next playing game, is there a team you want in particular you want to not see?
Oh, well, they just beat the Pelicans. Okay, that's right. I don't know if they would beat them again. I guess I would rather see the Thunder. The Thunder are weird. They got two guys named Jalen Williams starting. One of them is, you know, second rookie in the year, and the other one's playing center, but he's really a power forward. And the team is scrappy, and to beat, you know, so it'd be kind of more embarrassing if the Thunder beat the Timberwolves. So I guess I'd want to see them play the Pelicans, just because
if they lose, it won't be as bad.
It's just so this team, it's a tough team to root for, man. It's tough up in Minnesota.
It's tough. He's on the struggle bus.
I'm so glad I don't have that feeling yet. I was really hoping tonight wasn't going to be that night.
I know, but we dodged a bullet there. It was looking grim for a minute. But all right, well, you know, the play-in games were fun. We'll have another round of games on Friday for the play-in, so definitely something to look forward to. Obviously, the Bulls match up, so it'll be fun, and the Timberwolves. So all our teams are playing. So let's go ahead and look forward to the playoff breakdown. I think one of the things we wanted to do, Chris had this idea to kind of go through all the teams, you know, that are in the playoffs. I'd say we'll go with currently in the playoffs. We'll leave the teams that are have yet to make it in. So we'll just go down to 1 through 7 and kind of give you a reason why each of these teams could possibly win the whole damn thing. It was a struggle for me to kind of find some reasons here for some of these teams.
I agree.
Particularly the Eastern Conference. The Eastern Conference playoffs don't start until the second round, in my opinion. So let's go ahead and start. We just want to start East or West?
Let's go East.
Let's go East. All right.
Roll the dice.
Roll the dice. Where are we starting, top or bottom?
Top. Let's start with the easy ones.
Let's start with the easy ones. Let's get the easy ones. All right. We'll start with the Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks, the number one overall seed in the Eastern Conference. What do you guys think, man? Joey, we'll give you this one here.
One word, Giannis.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason they can win it all, Giannis. We've seen what he can do. There's not really a team outside of maybe the hated 76ers that can actually D up against Giannis. Everybody else in his way is just going to become what he's made pretty much everybody become, right? If he puts his head down and wants to do it, it's going to happen. There's nothing you can do to stop it. So if he's on a mission, which I assume he would be, especially with all the recent interviews coming out about how he's talking about the MVP and that kind of everything, like you hear him talk and he seems like a very focused, very competitive and slightly feeling a bit slighted, kind of angry guy right now. And I could see, obviously, I don't think he's going to win the MVP. I could see that driving a very large performance from him throughout this playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, their supporting cast is good. Obviously, the best team in the NBA this season. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to Giannis. And as we've seen in the past, he delivers when it matters most. And I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Yeah, I agree. That's definitely the kind of the odds on favorite here. But let's go to Chris to Boston. I think they're the second team. I actually think that that's going to be the NBA finals, essentially, Boston versus Milwaukee, if that happens.
Yeah.
But what do you think about Boston as far as, you know, should they maybe be considered the favorite?
Boston should be the favorite. They have the highest net rating, 6.7 in the league. Jason Tatum, they've been there before. They were there last year. And I feel like we kind of just forgot about them because Danilo Gallinari got hurt. Obviously, their coach was a D-bag. So now they got this young guy who's been doing all right for them. So, and Jaylen Brown's playing with a chip on his shoulder. He's been talking about like his max contract extension thing. And, you know, what more does he need to do? We talked about it in this podcast actually too. So Boston Celtics are, I honestly, probably the best team and probably the best team to bet on to win the whole thing, just because they've been there before. They have the guys that can do it, and they have the highest net rating. That's it.
Yeah. Court here. I think that they are the, if it wasn't for Giannis, and the Milwaukee Bucks, I would consider them the favorite. I kind of want to like pick them. We finally do our official picks. I think we'll probably do that next week or something once we get all the matchups lined up. But I think
if Middleton plays, like he's kind of this X factor.
Yeah.
It's like he's kind of back, but I don't know.
If Milwaukee's healthy, they're going to be really hard to beat. But, you know, and I think they have the best player in Giannis versus Tatum, who's obviously played it, you know, even at a borderline MVP kind of level this season. But,
yeah,
I'm kind of curious about that. All right, Joey, let's go to Philly, man. What do you think is their kind of reason for that they could maybe come in and sneak up? Could they beat Boston? That's the, you know, a good matchup there.
Yeah, I mean, outside of Giannis in the East, they have the best player in the conference. And I think there's a very good argument you could make that he is potentially better than Giannis. So, you know, with all that being said, like, they have, they probably underachieved this season, I think, based on kind of what you expected. Like, being a three seed is not really underachieving. I think, I think obviously with Harden and Embiid, there was expectations for them to be even better, but they seem to have flown kind of sneakily under the radar outside of the Embiid for MVP conversation. There hasn't been a lot of chatter about the 76ers. They started off the season really bad, and there was a lot of chatter then about how, you know, it wasn't all going to work for them, and this is what happens with the 76ers and Doc Rivers and all this stuff. But, you know, Embiid is going to have to deliver at some point in time in the playoffs, and it's been, I don't know how many years he's been there, but it's been a lot, and he's yet to do it. And I feel like this is maybe the time that it happens, right? He's got Harden for the entire season. The pieces that are around him seem to be fitting better than they ever have. Tobias Harris, obviously our favorite all you can have him player under the huge contract, but he's in a role now where, like, you could talk about his contract being overpaid, but he's in a role where he doesn't have to meet that contract, right? And he's doing things that actually fit what you need from someone in that role. And just their role players too are kind of just all slotting in right. So especially in the matchup with the Nets, like, I think this is a pretty easy matchup for him against the Nets. It should be. The Nets are playing on complete house money. If they didn't have the, you know, 13 game winning streak that they had before all of these players were on this team, they wouldn't even be the sixth seed that they are. But, you know, for me, the reason that the 76ers can win it all is they have the likely MVP. Embiid has been on an absolute tear right now. He's playing with confidence. He's playing very efficiently. And, you know, he's going to continue that in the playoffs. And if he does that, there's not a lot you can do to stop that.
Yeah, I certainly think this team is interesting. And I think you're right. You hit the nail on the head there with Embiid being kind of the catalyst. He hasn't really been healthy in the playoffs in the past, or has struggled. This season feels just like it's going to be his time. And I think they're going to be a scary matchup for Boston when they get there. So if they get there, it should be, you know. Chris, let's go to you. Number four, the Cavs.
This one's easy.
Yeah.
Cleveland sneakily have the second best net rating.
I feel like nobody's talking about this. It feels like it's like the top three teams, and then everybody's like, okay, and then Cleveland. But
They had the best defensive rating too.
Yeah.
Apparently Evan Mobley might win defensive player of the year. But here's some chatter about that.
Chatter.
And
some chatter.
I guess like Jared Allen's right there, so I don't know why he should get it over someone like Brook Lopez, who's been just an insane player this year too. But I mean, Donovan Mitchell's hitting it out of the park. That trade, he just came in. He was a lightning rod for this franchise. Him and Garland is a great 1-2 punch. Obviously, we just saw with the Bulls. You need a 1-2 in there. Mobley, Allen, LeVert. So this team has, they could be a sneaky good. The thing is, I kind of see this team being like a 6-7 game. You know, maybe get there, but really we're going to try next year. I think that's kind of how everyone's thinking, but you never know. They could do it a year early too.
I think that whole point about them having like the best or the second best net rating is really going under the radar, because nobody's really talking about that. Because people are saying like this 4-5 matchup with the Knicks is going to be a pretty tight game. And I kind of don't think so. I think it's going to be fairly easy for Cleveland. But, you know, hey, I could be wrong. I think the toughest scenario, though, is that then their matchup would end up with the Bucks in the second round. And I think that's a daunting task. Where if let's say they had gotten Philly in the second round, then I could maybe talk myself into them making some noise. And then, all right, then if they're in the conference finals, you know, anything can happen. You know, if Boston and Milwaukee had just beat each other up and had gotten there to the finals. So, you know, I do like this team to make some noise and definitely make the second round. But they certainly could surprise people. I mean, Mitchell is a superstar in his own right, so he could easily take over and win them a series. So we'll see. Well, let's keep moving on to their opponent, the New York Knickerbockers. Joey, what do you think, man? Now we're getting into the this is going to be tough.
I'm looking through my paper and I have something for every team, and the one team that I have blank is the Knicks.
Yeah.
And I honestly kind of forgot about the Knicks. I forgot that they somehow became the 5 seed. And is it bad that I can talk myself into the Nets having more of a chance to win everything than the Knicks?
Yeah.
It is bad, right? But like,
you were the biggest Jalen Brunson guy.
I am. And that's the only thing that I'm kind of thinking is like, is playoff Brunson, you know, from his, from last season in Dallas, like that is the only reason, but still like, if you're like 6 foot tall point guard is the only reason, like the people they'd have to go through in the East, that just doesn't seem like a likely thing, but for the sake of the argument, I guess, fine. Yeah. The reason the Knicks could win it all would be Jalen Brunson.
Okay, I was going to say, Manuel Quickly coming off the bench. There's Jason Terry, Firecracker, Lightning Rod that can help with this team. RJ Barrett, he's been kind of a disappointment. Maybe he can take it up a gear and kind of actually become what his third or second overall pick he was. Was he a third?
I think he was a
third overall pick. Right. Yeah, so he's been a little disappointing. Julius Randle, 25 and 10. You know,
he's a guy.
He's a guy. And, yeah, that's kind of it, though. Mitchell Robinson popping. I don't know, man. Like, a lot would have to break right for this team. Like, yeah. you need the 2 6-foot tall guys and Quickly and Brunson to kind of score 30 each a game. To
it's a lot of maybes. Yeah.
I could see this team having like a Atlanta Hawks run from like a couple years ago, where let's say they get out of this, you know, they beat Cleveland. Let's say they get out of that series, and then you know who knows? Maybe Middleton it really isn't right 100%. And the Milwaukee Bucks are a little shaky, and they catch them off guard, and now they're in the conference finals. And again,
they don't turn the ball over.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
Thibodeau's
been there, so that's kind of my thoughts on this team is just that they could maybe have, you know, just that kind of a sneaky run into the conference finals. Chris, you got something on the Nets? Or you want to go to Joey?
Brooklyn was harder, but Joey, it sounds like you got something for Brooklyn.
Yeah, I wrote down house money, like
that's a good yeah.
Like, I have that for actually a few teams through here. But, like, right? I mean, they have, like, they're kind of like Oklahoma City Thunder, right? If OKC makes it through, like, they are ahead of where you expect them to be. And, like, all these guys, they know that the only reason they're in the sixth seed is because of what happened before they got there. Yeah. Like, they didn't play bad when they were there, right? Like they had a respectable,
they're 11 and 13.
They're fine. Respectable record. But in their minds, they're like, hey, we're here. Like they're going to play with a ton of confidence. They're going to play completely loose and free. And we've seen teams this season have really good success playing loose and free in small sample sizes, right? Utah did it for a while. San Antonio did it for a while. Houston had it for a little bit. Like teams that just kind of play wild and free, like it happens. And in the playoffs, a lot of teams like to game plan against very specific things, right? Like this is what this team does, and this is what we're going to defend against and game plan against. But when a team is like, hey, we're not even supposed to be here. We're new. Yeah. Like we're game planning for the next season, the season after. Like you don't know what they're going to give you, and they're going to give you every look at possible. New head coach, completely new team. So, you know, the house money thing, I think, actually matters. And, you know, Mikal Bridges is a great player. Cam Thomas, like they have – they have guys who can put up points in a hurry. And if they're out and running and just playing kind of fun, like there's a chance they catch a lot of teams by surprise and do some damage.
And that would be my kind of factor too, what you're bringing up is Bridges kind of being sort of an unknown as a number one too. And, you know, obviously he's kind of was a number four on the Suns, but he is a, you know, an excellent player. And maybe he just, you know, maybe he blossoms into something that we weren't ready for in the playoffs and he takes it to another gear. And that's kind of how I can maybe talk myself into it. Like you said, they're just playing loose and free. There's not a lot of, you know, tape on them yet. So, hey, man, maybe they just, you know, and the other thing is their matchup with the 76ers is a little juicy. And as far as, you know, the Sixers could implode on themselves real easily. So,
well, it's the Michael Bridges revenge series.
Yeah,
the revenge series. Sixers drafted him and then traded for a. Oh my God! Who do they trade Michael Bridges for? He's not even in the league. Zaire Smith.
Oh, that's a tough
guy. Got hurt, and he never actually played in the league. It was one of the worst trades. Nobody talks about that trade, but imagine the Sixers could have just had Michael Bridges on their team. Yeah,
that would have been a big difference.
They could have Tatum. They could have had Bridges. So many crazy things on that team. They could have had me. Like you know,
could have had me, the whole team and their marketing team. But no, they've poor mistakes. Yeah. All right, Chris, let's go to you. Atlanta, the last team up here in the Eastern Conference. What's the move here, man? Just get hot?
Just Trey doing Trey things, man. This team also does not turn the ball over, similar to the Knicks. It's kind of the same thing. Like in Atlanta with Quinn Snyder now at the Realm.
Yeah.
You know, they get, who knows what can happen. They're just getting around to what his, they're actually kind of in this sweet spot where they're starting to learn the system and there's not that much tape on how that system kind of works. Yeah. So that could surprise some people. But the problem is they're playing Boston. And if Boston loses in round one, that'd be hilarious. But I just, yeah, sorry. Sorry, Atlanta guys. Like, Trae Young could maybe do it. No one talks about DeJounte Murray. Well, we don't. Like, is he good? Like, he's putting up points, but like, I don't get it. Like, I'm not afraid of DeJounte Murray.
No, he seems one of those guys that just kind of faded into the background at the minute he got on a decent team. And it's kind of weird. So
I meant to be more optimistic for this. I'm sorry, but
that's all right. Hey, these are conference. Really, this was tough. The first four teams, I think you talk yourself into, and then after that, I don't think there's really
Bogdan Bogdanovich.
Facts.
I'm just naming names.
Facts. Yeah. All right, let's go to the Western Conference. Guys. We're just naming guys now. Joey, I'll give you the number one slot here. Ooh. The Knicks, man, or the Knicks, the Nuggets.
Oh,
wow.
Well, the guys, Nuggets. The Nuggets.
Bucks Nuggets. Are we getting it?
Bucks Nuggets. Bulls Nuggets.
Oh,
hot fire. Everyone's on three-headed monster.
Yes.
That's the reason they can win, right? It has to be Jokic. It has to be Jamal Murray. It has to be Michael Porter Jr. Every game, all at the same time. And my biggest fear with Denver from the beginning of the season was if they don't have all three going, it's easy to game plan against their one true weapon, right, which is Jokic. And in a seven-game series, when you can match up and kind of do that, like, you can either decide, like, hey, we're going to let him get his and let everybody – we're going to lock up everybody else, or we're going to lock up everybody else or let everybody else get theirs and make Jokic have to struggle. So in order for the Nuggets to do damage, they have to have all three of those guys cooking at the same time. But they've shown that plenty of times this season that can happen. And I feel like, you know, we've talked a little about revenge games already, but like, this isn't really revenge, but like, this is Jamal Murray's coming out party potentially, right? Like,
yes.
You know, he's been out for a while. They've been kind of flying quiet with him. Jokic has gotten all the headlines. But before Jamal Murray went down, like, he was just as big of a headline in Denver as Jokic was, right? I mean, he was
him and Donovan Mitchell,
right?
The same.
That series was like his coming out party, and everybody learned his name from that. And then, you know, the knee injury happened and it kind of fell off from there. So,
yeah,
they can win. And the only way that they win is if all three of those guys, night in and night out, are just absolutely on fire.
Yeah, I agree with you here. I mean, obviously, they have that big three-headed monster. And I think you pointed it out, but I think it's a little, you know, I don't think it's crazy to say that they could potentially have like the best duo in the league almost, you know what I mean? With those two guys, if Murray is really cooking, and obviously Jokic is a top five player. So there's certainly that potential there. I could see these guys just locking in and playing great. And I could see them making it all the way to the finals. No problem. So I think that's super interesting.
You want to see them make it all the way.
I want to see them make to the finals. I really do love that team. I'll be rooting for them, you know, as the playoffs go, just because I've been wanting to see them in the finals for a while. So, and I just want to say Bucks Nuggets as loud as I can on a podcast at some point.
Right.
All right, Chris, let's go to you. Memphis, number two, man.
Yeah. Memphis. So I think we stopped talking about Memphis after Ja.
Yeah,
posted that gun, right? And now he's been back, but no one's really been talking about Memphis. They've been good, though. So the thing is, they're kind of flying under the radar right now. Ja is still being Ja. They have two of the best snipers in the league in Desmond Bane and Luke Kennard. Luke Kennard shot 54% from the field on like seven threes a game.
Sniper.
So he's making like 4 or 7 a game. It's insane what he's been doing. Jaren Jackson Jr. he was the defensive player of the year guy, but the problem with him, he gets a lot of foul trouble. He only plays 20 minutes a game. He can clean that up a little bit. Memphis can make a huge leap here. Dylan Brooks is trying to be the next Draymond Green. Maybe this is his coming out party. Have that going for him. Tyus Jones, Brandon Clark, and Sende Aldama. This team is deep. And Xavier Tillman's really been coming along for them, taking over that Steven Adams role. So I'm not really that concerned from the front court depth perspective. So the Grizzlies, I think a lot of people are going to take the Lakers, but the Grizzlies, I think people are still sleeping on the Grizzlies. They're really. Oh, and also they're fourth in net rating.
Yeah, so, top five net rating is always a
top potential. In the West.
You got to be in the top 10 in net rating to even have a chance to win it. And then top five is usually where the winners come out of. Yeah, I agree with you. I think this team is a little bit under the radar right now, which is pretty wild because they were kind of like the it team, you know, early in the season and all the stuff with Ja and you know, and everything that happened. And I think they have an easy matchup here against LA. I don't think it'll be too much trouble for them. So it should be interesting. So we'll see. They're going to make it. I think they can make it a deep run. All right, Joey, let's keep it moving here. Number three, the Kings, light that beam, baby. Tell me, how can they do this, man?
Well, they've got Captain Clutch, right? They've got De'Aaron Fox, yeah, who's been the best clutch player so far this season. In the playoffs, a lot of games are close. A lot of games come down to those clutch time minutes, close games, you know, final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, and they've had the best guy this season to do it. So the way that they win everything is if De'Aaron Fox continues to play the way that he does, and everybody comes along for the ride. I think the biggest kind of weak point maybe is going to be Sabonis. It's what you're going to get out of him. He's had a great season. He's been great. He led the league in rebounds this season, but you're going to need more than just rebounds from him in the playoffs. You can't just rely all on De'Aaron Fox. You know, you have to be in those close games to actually have a chance to win them. And I feel like as long as they keep it close, they've got a chance. Defense has been shaky so far this season, but the offense has been unreal. But we all know in the playoffs, it comes down to defense. But that being said, they're a new team to it. I mean, I'll say it again, house money, right? Like, this is their first kind of shot. Like, nobody will be devastated and upset if they get blitzed out, yeah, here in the first round. They'll be back next year, and they'll be really happy about it. But if they want to make a run, it's going to be because of De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree with you, man. I think, you know, De'Aaron Fox is their guy. Obviously, they could just outscore people. I think the one thing I would point out too is that they have maybe like the softest side of that bracket, which is, you know, kind of interesting considering they're going up against the defending champs. But it's early right now. The Warriors might not be, you know, in shape, right? With Wiggins coming back and Gary Payton the second coming back, they might not be ready to go like they could be in round two or round three. And then you get past that series where you have home court advantage. I mean, you're getting either Memphis or the Lakers. So, and I don't think either one of those teams is particularly scary. I mean, they're certainly beatable. So that certainly makes for an interesting path to the finals. And then to only have to play one of either the Nuggets, Clippers, and the Suns. You know what I mean? That makes a huge deal versus having to play kind of two of those teams to get there. Chris, let's go to number four. Number four of the Suns. What do you think?
It's the easiest one. There's no one? You don't need to say any advanced stats on it because Kevin Durant's only played 8 games with this team so far, and they've won all 8 of those games.
Never lost.
They've never lost. The problem is it's about to have a possible like 20. So I don't know what to think with this team with that. But, you know, they got Booker, Durant, Ayton, Chris Paul.
Yep.
What more do you need? Terrence Ross, even on this team, he's been hitting some buckets. So, campaign, Shamit. The team's championship ready. You don't want to run into this team if they get out of the first round. You know, because that means they have it together.
Yes.
So.
To me, this is the scariest team in the Western Conference because of Durant. You know, they snuck into that top 10, you know, in net rating there at number 9. But I think they're going to play better than that. So they're certainly going to be a team that you do not want to face. I mean, the Nuggets could potentially get them in the second round. That's a tough, tough matchup. So good luck to anybody who gets the Suns. But let's go to their matchup in the first round, the Clippers, number 5. I mean, Paul George might miss his first round series, I think is the word. But they still got Kawhi. Joey, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I struggled with this one a little bit. With Paul George potentially being out, it was a bit of a struggle to find something positive. But what I ended up kind of going with was coaching. Maybe one of the saddest takes of all of these ones. But Ty Lue has proven, you know, time and time again, that when he's up against adversity, he finds a way to scheme up a game and a game plan that works. You know, the Clippers do have some pieces. They do a matchup maybe kind of okay with Phoenix.
Yeah.
Kawhi on Durant isn't, you know, that's not your worst case outcome. The The only bad thing is if Kawhi has to work so hard on defense, is that does he have enough to give you on offense without Paul George there to help as well? But I think if you're going to look at one positive thing in the Western Conference, like you may say that Ty Lue is probably one of the best coaches in the Western Conference right now. And the Clippers, for where they started and the injuries that they've gone through, and Kawhi in and out as much as he was, like, they probably overachieved versus what we kind of picked them to be when we started this season. So, you know, they do have some championship pedigree in them in Kawhi. They've got finals MVP pedigree in them in Kawhi. Not a lot of teams have that. So between their coaching and Kawhi, like, that's what it's going to take to make it happen.
Yeah, they certainly have the guys to get you there. I mean, if they had Paul George in this series, I think this Sun series would be very interesting, because then you got a guy that could D up both Booker and KD, you know, especially in the clutch. I think it's going to be a little bit tough, but if anybody could kind of just drag a team there, it's Kawhi, man. He just does stuff. So,
what a bummer, man. This is the fourth season
with
this Kawhi and Paul George. I don't think we've ever had both of them healthy at the same time in the playoffs. It's crazy.
It's crazy, man. Another like what if team.
Yeah.
So we got maybe a fairly easy one here. Number six, Chris, for you, the Warriors.
The defending champs.
Did they just turn it on here? What happens?
What's more to say? Yeah, just turn it on. Klay hit 300 plus threes this year. Yep. Curry hit 280 or whatever. They hit threes. Wiggins is coming back. Hopefully he can just come right in there and kind of pick up where he left off. Jordan Poole has been still fantastic. He actually quietly improved year over year. And Draymond Stinkley should be defensive player of the year, but I think there's kind of voter fatigue with him as well, because he has been the best drop coverage pick and roll defender in the league this year. And they have a pretty solid matchup, not having to go against a big in round one against Sacramento. Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, they're itching to try to become, you know, bigger stars in this league. And I think in these playoffs, they have a big opportunity to expand more. And then I forgot about Gary Payton II. He's been awesome.
Coming back.
So, no, it's not that hard to make a case for the Warriors to win. The one thing is they are 11th in net rating. So it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, they're just outside. But you know what? The only times in the past, like 20 years, somebody has been outside of that top five in net rating has been a defending champ. So defending champs. They usually get the benefit of the doubt there. But they're not the typical defending champ where we're still like a top seed. They're just, they've had, some struggles this year, you know, as far as guys being out, that terrible road record. But again, you know, that side of the bracket is fairly easy. You got the Kings, who are unproven. Maybe they just, the lights are a little too bright for them and the beam gets dim. And then you got, then them and maybe potentially Memphis would be a hell of a series with how much those guys hate each other. But, they've seemed to have Memphis's number, quite a bit. So,
yeah,
certainly be interesting. And then if they get there, if they're a KD, Suns Warriors rematch, that'd be fun too. So
that'd be a great finals
conference finals. All right. I like that. And all right, Joey, we'll give you your favorite team.
Yeah.
The Lakers, man. What is this?
Is right. Well, I thought they were going to not make the playoffs at all. They are the
the seventh seed.
They are the seventh seed, so they're in. I think this one's pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah.
How do you win if you're the Lakers? Well, you have LeBron James, and as much as I dislike the Lakers and I'm not a huge LeBron fan, as I've said multiple times, I will never argue that he's not a great player, right? I will argue his shenanigans and what all the other stuff.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it in the playoffs, LeBron is LeBron. And he can carry you through all the way, right? Like, he's 37. He's proven that doesn't mean anything at this point in time in his career. AD has been playing at a clip that, is hard to stop. So between those two guys, like, they can win you series easily. The problem is if any one of them gets injured, any one of them has a slight off night, like, that's where it's going to come down to it. But if you're a betting person, I'm assuming you're probably going to get pretty good odds on the Lakers in the West right now. And you'd be hard pressed to not take some of that.
I think they're kind of favored, actually.
Are they really?
Yeah. I think they're like the fourth favorite.
Get out of here.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the Lakers money.
Is it just to win a series or is it like win the title?
I think to get out of the West. I think they're one of the favorites. I know it's crazy. I think it's because you got Memphis and the Kings and the 2-3 seed. I think that's just
Lakers money coming in. Like
it's just Lakers people. Money. Yeah,
that just seems wild to me.
Yeah, it is wild.
Never mind that thought. Then yeah. I just think like LeBron can do it, right? And if they're gonna do it, it's gonna be because of him. It's not gonna be because of anybody else. Like AD could average 40 a game, but if LeBron averages 15 a game, like they're not winning a series.
Yeah,
I guess actually Lakers are fifth in to come out of the West. Okay. So
well, it's not crazy. Yeah,
that seems like pretty good money. Then I would place some action on that because it's LeBron and you can't discount him. And like you just said, the road they have to take is not terrible.
Yeah, that side of the bracket is not bad.
So it just comes down to how much effort are they going to have to put into this, and can they stay healthy through the grind?
Yeah, I think the health is going to be the biggest issue. And then can LeBron kind of recapture some of that magic? He is sort of fading a little bit in my eyes. Not crazy, though. Certainly not crazy. And then with AD playing the way he's playing, if those two guys are on, they're certainly good enough to get you to the finals and maybe win you another chip. So definitely a fun exercise to do. I think the West has a little more juice to it than the East, but a little maybe more wide open.
Yeah,
but speaking of juice, go ahead.
I think it's mostly wide open because the Warriors are the sixth seed.
Yeah.
Like if the Warriors were not there, I feel like it'd be maybe a little bit more top heavy like the East is, but because the Warriors found their way to six,
yeah,
it kind of makes it interesting all the way down.
And if the Suns had been better all year and it was like a Warriors, Golden State Suns as 1-2-3, I think, yeah. Mm-hmm. Nuggets, Suns, Warriors. I think that would be a little bit more definitive. I'm with you guys there. Well, that was a great exercise. And like I said, speaking of juice, let's talk about the juiciest matchups of the first round. I'll go with my two here first, since I kind of threw to you guys for the whatever we just did.
Everything else.
I think the Kings Warriors is very juicy, and I think the Suns Clippers are the two best first round matchups. Across the board, I really don't see anything in the Eastern Conference being too juicy, unless the Bulls get the Bucks, and then there's always a chance. Just kidding. But then other than that, yeah, I kind of feel like everything should be pretty chalk. But these are the two series where I could see some fireworks. What do you guys think? Do you guys agree with that, or do you think there's another series that could potentially?
It's just the West, right? Because I like Grizz Lakers too.
Yeah, I think that'd be interesting.
Nuggets Timberwolves.
Also, hey, it could get interesting.
No, that's the thing of like Bucks Bulls, like,
yeah,
yeah. No, I agree though. Like the because you can see an upset. It could be kind of weird if we saw like a 6 seed, a 7 seed, and a 5 seed in the second round.
Yeah, we're looking like the March Madness bracket.
Right. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, for real. Well, who won that? We still have to.
UConn ended up winning it. Yeah.
No. Between us three.
We don't know.
Yeah. Figure out.
I think we gave up on that one. Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
I know Joey deserved to win it. That's why.
No, yeah, that's what it was.
Such a bad shot.
Any other matchups pique your interest, Joey?
No, I had Warriors Kings written down. We talked a lot about the Warriors having the worst away record, a road record all season long. Draymond has come out and said that the reason he wants to play the Kings is because it's a pretty much a home game for them in terms of like it's a bus ride down the highway. They don't have to travel a bunch. And there will undoubtedly be Warriors fans in Sacramento. So that was pretty juicy. The Kings, there's a lot of hype. Their fans are hyped too. So I'm excited to see that one.
It's the most expensive playoff ticket. First round playoff ticket of all time. I think it's $851 to get in the door.
Whoa.
And it'll be packed for every game, no question. Yeah. But
well, you got Warriors defending champs, and then you got the Kings who hadn't been there in 16 years, where everybody's probably jacked in the city of Sacramento. Yeah. So,
yep.
Yeah. All the juice is in the West until maybe the Eastern Conference Finals if you get something good. But the matchups in the West to start are significantly juicier.
I agree with you guys. All right, let me ask you a question here, and then we can kind of wrap it up. Who are you guys rooting for in that series? I kind of feel like I'm rooting for the Kings. I don't know why. I love the Warriors. But just part of me wants, like, I kind of feel bad that they got that matchup, the defending champs. I think it's a little bit of a heavy lift, you know, for your first playoff series in, you know, 16 years. But so I think I find myself kind of with a soft spot for them. But are you guys rooting for them? Or are you guys really kind of rooting for the Warriors?
I'm definitely rooting for the Kings. Just from my, everyone likes that David Goliath.
Yeah.
Thing, right. You want that David to win. But I'll let Joey answer this. But also, I'm curious, who do you want out of the Suns Clippers? That's the one where I'm like, I don't
Ooh,
want either of these teams.
Yeah. Me personally is going to be the Suns. I like the Suns. The Clippers, I really don't care for.
Okay. Yeah. I like the Suns.
Joe?
Yeah. I kind of want the Warriors to win. And I don't know why. Because, like, I mean, I can't.
Warriors is kind of is looming, right?
That's yeah. I can't like pinpoint one thing that I can really like about the Warriors, but I like Steph as much as he annoys me sometimes. When you like playing when you're playing against him, he's like the most annoying person in the world after LeBron.
Yeah.
Then, like watching him play, it's like it's such a high or it's such a low, and it can happen so fast for him, and like it's just exciting to watch. I don't know, like I don't think that the Kings are going to give anybody trouble if they do get past the Warriors. So like,
yeah.
If the Warriors get out of this, like they're still going to give some trouble to everybody. And like, I kind of like that they're playing villain now, you know,
yeah.
They've kind of become this like villainous team, and maybe not amongst fans, but against like the other teams and the players. So I kind of enjoy that. Suns Clippers though. Yeah. That's tough. I think the Suns. Cause like, I kind of want the argument about Durant to like end. And I feel like if he goes there and it's like, hey, like this team has been to the finals before, they've had great seasons and they haven't been able to cap it.
Yeah.
But now that he's here, he does it. It's like, okay, this is like, maybe finally we can stop having this conversation about Kevin Durant and just like, we can just agree that he is what he is. And he's amazing and he's great. And
never, and it, they'll lose.
Yeah.
In the second round.
Well, if they lose, I mean, either way, right. You might kind of put a stamp or a bow on the argument. And
I can see that.
I kind of want it to go the other way, though, because I don't know.
I do like Durant. I still do like Durant. I know he's, you know, had his moments there, but I do like him. And I'm kind of with you, Joy, there. I would like to see him sort of get that monkey off his back and kind of win another championship, especially if he had to go through Golden State. You know, that would be kind of interesting for sure. But, yeah, I think that's where I lean on those series. Well, boys. You ready to call it for tonight? It's been a late one.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm going to be up for like another 2 hours, but yeah.
Are you watching the game again, or just
I might watch the game again. I might just watch the game again.
I'm just pumped.
I might go wave the flag around the front yard.
Yeah, let's take his pants off. Wave the flag.
I did change all the lights outside to red though halftime. So I did some mojo, guys. I did it.
Wow.
I did it
was all you. Well, we're gonna need you. We're gonna need you Friday night because we got one more to win here, nice. And then we can.
I will rub the gnome.
Then we can have a Box Out Boys meet up in Milwaukee, unless we want to do it in Chicago. We'll see. All right, boys. Well, that is it for us tonight. Join us next week to talk more NBA basketball. We'll have the full playoff picture. We have some actual playoff games in the books by next week, so we'll give you a full breakdown. Maybe we'll give you our predictions going forward. I think we've kind of more or less said them, you know, but we'll talk more NBA basketball.
It could change next week.
Could change next week. You know, hey. Somebody drops
nothing's,
a game.
Nothing's in stone yet, so
Lakers go get one right away in Memphis. It gets weird. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitch at the Box On Boys. Slide in those DMs. Join us live Wednesdays around 8:30 or a little later if the playoff games are going. Send us an email to theboxoutboys@gmail.com. And as always, like, subscribe, interview wherever you listen to this at now. We'd very much appreciate that. So for Chris, Joey, and Adam, I'm Titus. Until next time, box out.